We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, The Demigods and Demons Declare a Truce. And he continues with verse 32. Tato devasura kritva samvidam krita sohrida udyamam paramam chakrur Amritarthe parantapa. Tata. Thereafter. Deva Asura. Both the demons and the demigods. Kritva. Executing. Samvidam. Indicating. Krita Sohrida. An armistice between them. Udyamam. Enterprise. Means also effort, endeavor. Paramam. Supreme. Chakru. They did. Amrita arte. For the sake of nectar. Parantapa. O Maharaj Parikshit, chastiser of enemies. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Parikshit, chastiser of enemies, the demigods and the demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Then, with great enterprise, they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra. Purport. The word samvidam is significant in this verse. The demigods and demons both agreed to stop fighting, at least for the time being, and endeavored to produce nectar. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur notes in this connection, samvidyude pratigyayam acharenam nitoshane sambhashane kriyakare Sanketa jnana yorapi. The word samvid is variously used to mean in fighting, in promising, for satisfying, in addressing, by practical action, indication, and knowledge. Hare Krishna. It's a wonder we can say anything. If one word can mean so many things. Maybe I'll read a whole bunch of other verses, if you don't mind. So 33. Tadaste mandara girim odasot patya durmada nadanta udadim ninyo sakta parigabhava. Thereafter, with great strength, the demons and demigods, who were all very powerful and who had long, stout arms, uprooted Mandara Mountain, crying very loudly, they brought it toward the ocean of milk. Sounds good, like some cool gym. But, 34. Dura bharodvaha sranta sakra vairo chanadaya aparayantastam vodum vivasa vijahupati. Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Maharaj Bali, and other demigods and demons became fatigued. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way. Horrible.
35.
The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demons and demigods and demons. Even more horrible. Hare Krishna. Isn't this supposed to be Krishna's plan? Purport. By constitution, gold is heavier than stone. So this would be 2 kilos. Yeah, this would be 2 kilos, more than 2 kilos. It's 19 kilos per liter plus. It's very heavy. Since Mandara Mountain was made of gold and was therefore heavier than stone, the demigods and demons could not properly carry it to the ocean of milk. So if you get a mountain of gold, is it good or is it bad? 36. Tamstata bhagna manaso bhagna bahu rukandaran vigyaya bhagavamstatra babhuva garudadvajam. The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs, and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier Garuda. Giri padavenish pishtan vilokyamaradanavan ikshaya jivayam asan nirjaran nirvranan yatha. Observing that most of the demons and the demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. That would be a really, really welcome presence in every sports event. You had Krishna just looking, not even a bruise. He's left. And one more I will read. There will be only one left in the chapter. 38. Girim charopya garude hastinaike nalilaya aruhya prayayavabhim sura suraganair vrita. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand, Hare Krishna, and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk surrounded by the demigods and demons. Purport. Here's proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. There are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above them both. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here. For simply with one hand, he lifted Mandara Mountain. The demigods and the demons placed them on the back of Garuda and brought them to the ocean of milk. Why did he do this from the get-go, from the beginning? Why not? Some effort, okay. Now the demigods, the devotees would immediately accept this incident, knowing that the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it might be. But although demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing of this incident, would say that it is mythological. But if God is all-powerful, why would it be difficult for him to lift a mountain? Since he is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of Mandara mountains, why can't he lift one of them with his hand? This is not mythology, but the difference between the believers and the faithless is that the devotees accept the incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures to be true, whereas the demons simply argue and label all these historical incidents mythology. Demons would prefer to explain that everything happening in the cosmic manifestation takes place by chance. But demigods or devotees never consider anything to be chance. Rather, they know that everything is an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the difference between the demigods and the demons. So history is his story, as we mentioned yesterday. That's the more reasonable view on the events. And it's very good if you know the program. It's helpful if you know the program. But this is an interactive game. So you are supposed to be also included. And a lot of your actions influence the further development. So this is why the social networks are so popular, because you can say yes, no, good, horrible, and you can influence how it develops further. There are some authors who experiment with different plots. For example, you finish the chapter. Usually it's in the electronic medium, but it was even 60 years, no, sorry, in the 60s, like 40 years, 50 years ago, somebody tried to do this in a paper medium, that you finish a chapter and then you have to decide the next hero, is it a man or a woman? And then depending on your choice, you go either to this chapter or that chapter. Then you read, and then you have to decide, was this guy killed or did he survive? Then depending on your decision, you go either to this chapter or to that chapter. And there's like eight nods where you decide where you will go. But, you know, I once read a book like this and I explored every version. First I chose what I think, how it should be. And then I explored every other version. Because I bought the book, so I want to know all the options, the whole menu. So this universe is, Krishna is offering you the full menu. Here you have the full menu. Srimad Bhagavatam, Veda, describes the full menu. Also, it describes the recommended path, how you can traverse the journey in this horrible, dangerous ocean in such a way that you get the maximum benefit. So, benefit is not always synonymous with comfort. Hare Krishna. People who pursue, what was it? Who was it? Who said people who exchange freedom for bread lose both freedom and bread. Which was illustrated in history in many places. So, if we pursue comfort, we, like for example, drug addiction. It's comfort, right? You just take some drug and it's comfortable. And there are many forms of drugs, not necessarily drugs, but also in the form of, like sugar. Sugar, it mimics the drug effect on the body. But then the body loses, you take it once, take it twice, and after some time you lose sensitivity. It brings no more joy, actually. It becomes like ordinary. You feel no... In pursuing comfort, you lose comfort. In pursuing pleasure, you lose even the pleasure. I remember in my childhood there was some Christian fast. I heard that if Christians follow their fasts properly, then there is only just a few days where they are allowed to actually not be vegetarian. Otherwise, mostly they also have to be vegetarian if they follow the fast. But I remember the mother was saying that after the fast was over, the mother said, see, now you enjoy this food, even milk. Actually, they're supposed to avoid milk. So, this is nice food. So, see, if there was no fast, you would not enjoy it like this. Didn't convince me that time. I thought, somehow I was not very impressed with this example. Hare Krishna. But it's scientific, actually. Nowadays you have people following, they call it fancy words like a dopamine fast. Yeah? No reading, no social networks, no good food, not even smiles with each other, nothing. There's no pleasure whatsoever, just no pleasure. Because we pursue so much pleasure that we lose all pleasure. Sensitivity is lost, and we need more, and then nothing brings pleasure. You become like a vegetable, basically. So then they decided, okay, we need to reset. How do we reset? We fast. So like sometimes the drug addicts are requested to fast for 1 month, and then see, will it? And sometimes they are able to solve their problems. So this is the result of pursuing pleasure, and you need something to reset. But and the famous Viktor Frankl, whom Bhaktivedanta Maharaj likes to quote, says that happiness cannot be pursued. Happiness can only ensue. That's in the American Constitution, I think, in the first line, yeah, that it's the right of everyone to pursue happiness. That's how the American Constitution begins. The right, I don't remember exactly, it's the right of everybody to pursue happiness.
Life, liberty, and pursuit, we hold these truths to be self-evident. That everyone is entitled to the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
Life, liberty, and happiness. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Pursuit of happiness. Doesn't guarantee you happiness, but pursuit, okay. It is obvious. But Frankl said, you cannot pursue happiness. I mean, you can pursue, but good luck. But he says, happiness will ensue if you pursue meaning. If you live a meaningful life, then happiness will be a side effect. It will come on its own. This is the same what Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavatam, that those who pursue, as soon as one wants to become happy, he is doomed to be miserable, to suffer. But one who is renouncing attachment to happiness, he is coated in happiness. He's covered in happiness. So pursuit of meaning. So things have to be meaningful. But what is meaningful in this world? What is meaningful in this world? So, one simple answer, okay, how about, maintaining life? The materialist will say, maintaining life. And then, okay, how much life we need to maintain? It's an interesting question. Do you just need to maintain enough life to produce the next generation? Or do you need to maintain just enough life to keep the things running? Then, okay, you can read the books from 200 years ago, and at 40 people were ancient. 40 years was already dying, It's like half dead, almost dead. 40 years was ancient old age. Just 100 or 200 years ago. I mean, average age of an American life expectancy 100 years ago was 44 years. So obviously at 40 you were very old. But life continued. Life continued. I mentioned my grandmother had 10, great-grandmother had 10 children, only two survived. Only two survived. It was just 100. A little more than 100 years ago. So, but yes, life is a value. Life is a value. And that's why This famous guy who is very popular, people think he's conservative, Jordan Peterson. His popularity exploded. He was a psychologist who just was speaking about the meaning of life, why we live, why we are depressed. He himself is depressed, actually. He's trying to discuss it. And it's interesting because he came to become to discuss the Bible, and then he came to somehow begrudgingly accept, looks like there is God. Or at least we need to accept some divine existence. He hadn't arrived at the Bhagavatam yet. But maybe if you mention him in the class once or twice, maybe he'll get some bhakti, lesha punya. Maybe it will help him to get closer to the Bhagavatam finally. And he'll find his some help. But why I remember him? Because he was super popular. He had a huge audience in his channel. And he said he was surprised why he has like 80% men and only 20% women. His conclusion was, it's a big discussion, that this is the reason why in some societies women did not even require an initiation, because just life was sufficient initiation for a woman. That women understood pain is there, and we want to continue life. We want to continue life. Whereas for a man, it's not so obvious. First of all, is there really pain? So that's why you have initiation with a test, heavy test, where you are forced to experience pain before. Some test is there. And then some initiation where you're accepted, okay, this is your role in the society. And they complain that the modern society has no initiation for men. So men are lost. Men are lost. So a woman somehow is more guided to, or inspired, at least for some time, what to live for. The man doesn't know, why should I live? So in fact, the highest suicide rate, I was surprised, is very young people. Very young people. I mean, the boys and men between 40, I mean, men around 40 or 50. In UK, it's the first cause of death for men. Slovenia is also not so far behind. But both for men and women. The guy has been working for like 30 years, and then he's getting a little older. He can't work so well. So what's the meaning of life? No meaning. My life is over. So that psychologist was explaining, that's why they try to figure out what to do. Why do I live? What's the meaning? Why should I live? So here, the demigods are obviously not just initiated, but super, super, super initiated. Yes, they have performed millions of sacrifices. They know why every sacrifice begins with some initiation. I am such and such, I do this and this. So performer of sacrifice is dikshit, is initiated. So because you take a sankalpa, that's our purpose, we want to do this. And they become demigods, so they are divine. They know this supreme, the higher plan. They know the plan. They know the plan of God. They know what they have to do for God. Gopi Parandana Prabhu was once saying that the universe is maintained by love. Yes. Why? Because who maintains the universe? The demigods. And why do they maintain? Because of bhakti. And what is bhakti? Bhakti is love. So yes, the universe is maintained by love. Hare Krishna. So they maintain the universe, and what do they see? They lose to demons. The demons are victorious. They lose and lose and lose. Hare Krishna. So what's the point? What are we doing? So then Krishna comes. So they go to their big boss, Brahma. They go to Brahma. Brahma says, "I don't know. I will call my GBC." And he prays to Krishna, and Krishna comes, and it's obvious it's Krishna because everybody is flooded with effulgence. It's so bright, they are flooded with effulgence. They can't even see anything. And then again, Brahma is praying and they're requesting this and that, we have some trouble. And what does Krishna say? Okay. Make peace with the demons. What? We can't hear you. Well, are you sure? Did you say the right thing? And so Krishna explains, no. Why? Because you have a higher purpose, higher goal. So interesting, Prabhupada here says that Krishna is above both the demigods and the demons. He's not just the top boss. He's not just part of this world who is just on one side. He needs to benefit the whole universe. Of course, the demigods are the best helpers, but he runs this universe in such a way that everybody is benefited. Everybody gets their purpose. And the demons are lucky that they have Bali Maharaj on top right now. So Bali Maharaj is grandson of Prahlad, and he can be reasoned with. They can talk to Bali. You know, they go to Bali and they talk, and he agrees. Okay, nectar sounds good. And he gets his Uchai Shrava horse, and he gets, you know, they also get something out of it. Plus, they think anyway, we win fighting with demigods now. So after producing nectar, we will win also. So let's produce the nectar together, and then we'll take it away. Which they did. Also. So Bhagavatam is showing us how sometimes your thighs get smashed, shoulders get smashed, arms get broken, and sometimes you even die. Several times in the service of the higher cause. It's amazing, actually. And you are given a golden instrument, a mountain of gold. Just imagine that for your service, you would be given a golden, you would have to live in a golden palace, ride a golden chariot, and use some golden instruments for your service. Krishna would give it to you, that he must use it. but it would be heavy. So, you know, if you have so much gold, you cannot lift it, probably good, no? But then it falls and smashes your foot or something. So is it good or bad? Hare Krishna. So, okay, Krishna comes on Garuda and heals with his glance. Just looks at them. And they are all completely healed. Even their fractures are healed. So that's the demigod. It is sometimes mentioned that, I think Ayurveda mentions that there are three categories of medicine. Divine, human, and demoniac, or higher, middle, and... all three are used, but divine is through the mantras, through the mind, through the subtle influence. And probably even ordinary medicine works mostly through the mind, through placebo. I mean, so many studies are there. And human is through medicine. So drugs, they're called, not drugs, but some medicine, some chemical combinations or whatever things to help, herbs. And demoniac is surgery, so some gross manipulation of with the body, with the knife and things like this. All three are used, but here you can see an even higher category. Not even the sound, not even the mantras, divine glance. Krishna just looks at them, and their fractured thighs are healed. Not even a bruise Not even a blue mark remains. So that's Krishna's medicine, Hare Krishna. And he says, okay, but what does he say? Okay. You okay? The thigh is okay? Okay. The legs are working? Okay. Hop on Garuda, let's go. Get to work. And he gets them churning the ocean. And they again get very tired. But they follow the plan, the higher plan. Therefore, they follow the higher plan, and you see that the end is happy. The end is happy. And the result is that not only they were successful, you can see that even these demons somehow got blessed to some extent, because you can see Bali got association of Vamana, and he gets some promise, so some blessings they get, ultimately, some higher blessings they get. But also we get blessings. We read, and we can, just by reading, we become purified. In any, just by reading this, we get heart therapy. We get therapy on our heart. We get spiritual therapy. Whether we understand, or even better, if we don't understand, yeah, oftentimes it's helpful to understand that some things we do not understand. It's helpful in developing intellectual humility. Just part of higher understanding. But also we see the lessons of how happiness cannot be pursued, but it must ensue. So if one pursues pleasure, one can't get it. But if one pursues higher meaning, some higher meaning, and so we mentioned that just continuing life is already some meaning that lets people survive sufficiently, and then trying to benefit the human society, maybe also some meaning, but then to get spiritual knowledge is even a higher meaning, then to, but if you can discover Krishna's ultimate plan, the higher plan for giving bhakti to all the living entities, then this is the highest meaning. So if you can join this highest plan by accepting this great effort in developing bhakti and by helping Krishna in spreading bhakti, then this is the highest significance, the highest purpose of life, which will naturally let us live properly, and then all the wonderful things are a byproduct of such a life, of proper life. And in this Gauranga era, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it very easy and beautiful that bhakti can be both practiced and spread by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Comments, questions, doubts, endorsements, ecstasies? All clear. Hare Krishna. Uru Gaya Prabhu, you have a backup question, inquirer. Do we have our stalwart Avaduta Rai still participating? Or has he given up on us? Uru Gaya Prabhu, please.
Yes, you were...
Get lost! Krishna, it starts very, very good. It starts to turn broadcast automatically.
There's a demon inside there. Thank you.
That's me. That's me. That was me. There is, yes, I agree. Orgai Brahma?
Now I at least know who I am from the purport, from the commentary on the verse. The demigods accept how we explain the world, and what we think sometimes about trying to explain with chance and things with that. No, I wanted to say something else about. Sometimes I listen to Jordan Peterson, and it actually, this his podcast, he has these guests and with very promising titles, people from Oxford discussing God, these professors, and then I listen to that, and yes, they are very intelligent. I'm impressed speaking about Bible and Vedanta, and yes, that God is a plausible option.
makes sense.
But then somehow there is a limit to where they reach with all the discussion, and there is always the limit, even though they are discussing for hours, and I'm always impressed. And they are really very intelligent, Jordan Peterson and the guys around him. But then there is a limit. They explain everything as an example of some possible ultimate reality, which is with intelligent and conscious. But they use all the scriptures, all the examples, and somehow it leads into Mayavada direction. I think it can lead. So right from the beginning, right from planting some seed of God consciousness at the beginning.
Derail.
Is you are misdirected to their Mayavada. I mean, they themselves and their followers. That's the impression I get. Yes. So how to help Jordan Peterson? Because, for example, and all the others, if you have
brothers and sisters, let us pray for him. That he gets blessings of Shiva Chitato. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, you can write on his page that we prayed for you. It works, actually. It works. It works. I remember. Shall I tell you a story? It was. I read one book many years ago, and it was some new author. I decided. Let me see what's happening in Ukraine. I haven't touched anything happening, I should know what's happening. So I found some books of modern authors, one modern author, and he was discussing spiritual life. He was basically speaking about, it was mostly like Buddhism influenced stuff, Mayavada and Buddhism influence put into the modern milieu or environment, in the modern context. And on reading this, I thought this guy is practically ready to become a devotee. He's almost just like half a step from being a devotee. And I thought, God bless him, if he could just make this one step. And then I remember I bought some of his other book, and I'm sorry, it was so useless. Some absurd something about drugs, something like totally. I'm sorry, you know. I hope he doesn't listen to this, and will not listen to this. Anyway, I'll tell you. There was some, you know, like you have these Humana containers for old clothes. So it was said that you can also put old books there, and then these people will sell them. So I decided, why should I keep this book? I should, you know, maybe these homeless people, at least they will sell this book or something, or will read this book. So I put this in this container. And just as I put it in the container, I had a blip on my phone. Boom! I got a message. And I opening, And this is this author saying that I'm associating with devotees and I heard about you and I have a question. Can I ask you a question? It was mystical. It was really mystical. And he has become a very nice devotee, actually. He has become a very nice devotee, practicing, chanting, doing everything. Among writers, he is a half mystic fig. Anyway, it's getting too personal. I will not go. Huh? So yes, if we try to, that's the only way how bhakti spreads, by your good wishes. By your good wishes. There's no other way. Krishna doesn't give it himself. Only madhyam bhaktas, by wishing others to become bhaktas, only this is how it spreads. There's no other way, according to Madhura Kadambini by Sri Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. So taking an opportunity, maybe I can ask you, can you please also, can we all of us also pray that I also get bhakti, okay? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you. Just a drop so I can move to the next little step. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Sorry, I'm misusing this, but but you put me here, I have to get something. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shidevi, you have some comment?
If we have time, otherwise
you still have 6 minutes, 7 minutes before 9.
Thank you again for such an enlightening class, Prabhu. It's so wonderful to hear about the Lord and the amazing things that Krishna does. As a matter of fact, it's like, you know, all in a day's work. You know, he just glances at them, they all come back to life. All their broken bones, they're healed with not even a bruise. Then he lifts all of them on Mandara Mountain, and the demons and the demigods, put them on Garuda and shh, they're there. It's like, wow, why do we need to go and see all this science fiction movies? You know, we are having a movie happening right here, and simply hearing more and more about the pastimes of the Lord actually helps us to have more faith in Krishna.
Yes.
So I'm just enchanted by today's class. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, all the movies are taken from here. The Star Wars were done by George Lucas, who consulted Joseph Campbell, who has drawn from the Mahabharata and Ramayana. There's a book by Satyaraj Prabhu, Jedi in the Lotus. Jedi, where the whole book, it describes how it's taken from the Mahabharata. This is from Mahabharata, from this place in the Mahabharata. This is from the Bhagavad Gita. This is from Ramayana. This is from that. He shows all this. Which also makes sense. You cannot invent anything outside of Krishna, and Krishna has already put all the important things in the Bhagavad.
Yeah.
Everything else is just some commentary. Or distortion. Okay.
Hare Krishna. This is a question by Valabi Knappen.
Mm-hmm.
Question from your previous lecture. Why is it that fear is not so many times mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita?
Who?
Fear.
Fear.
For instance, in Bhagavad Gita 260-263, attachment, lust, anger and delusion are mentioned, but not fear. In material psychology, they sometimes say that anger comes from fear. If so, why is it not mentioned in this verse as separate emotion flowing attachment or lust? Following attachment or lust.
Srila Prabhupada, it is mentioned, I think, sufficiently, like 4:10, Bhayam Krodham, Ragam Bhayam Krodham. 4:10, you can read, fear is mentioned in a unique commentary by Srila Prabhupada, where he almost writes a philosophical symphony. Krishna speaks about Raga Bhaya Krodha, attachment, fear, that you to come to him, you have to become free from attachment, fear, and anger, attachment, fear, and anger. And Vallabhi said, yes, that anger comes from fear. Prabhupada says the same thing, 4.10. And he puts this in a philosophical context. He says, materialism is raga, attachment. And then you try, and what do you get? You get frustration. You get frustration, and then you meet some impersonalist, pseudo-Vedantist, Advaita Vedantist, who say, you suffer? Aha! You suffer because of the personal attachments. And then, what should I do? You should just follow the impersonal philosophy. So that's fear, the next level, the next philosophy. Philosophy of fear, impersonalism. Fear of any personal interaction, any attachments, because they produce suffering, and so they are even afraid of Krishna. They are even afraid of personal interactions with Krishna and being personal in the spiritual world, because they have very negative experience here. And then they say everything is one, and then they try to prove everything is one, and it doesn't work because everything is not completely one. Yeah. You can sing, I am you and you are me and we are all together, but then, you know, when the time comes to divide the money and fame, somehow there is some quarrel. So then what is the, of course, in their case, they got blessings of Srila Prabhupada, but in the case of the impersonalists, they become angry and then they can go to the philosophy of emptiness. Okay, it's all empty, nothing is there, it's all shunya, void. Also, Prabhupada says that fear is the strongest force in the material world, meaning the all-pervading, the most pervading force in the material world. So fear, security, defense, out of the four needs, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Prabhupada says that defending is the strongest. So if there is a danger, if we are afraid, we will forget about eating, we will forget even about sleeping and mating. We will just try to defend ourselves. And that's for all the creatures. So if you search, you will find there are plenty of descriptions of fear. But also probably a devotee, also fear of death is one of the five coverings of illusion. That's also is the last one, but probably for a devotee it's the first one to go. Probably it's the first covering to go away, to be removed. It seems that mostly devotees are not as afraid of death from the very early days. So you understand, well, death, what is this? As you can notice, I often greet devotees that happy Friday, 1 week closer to death. And devotees are laughing. Yes, so why devotees are laughing? Because the ha ha ha, yes, death, ha ha. Tell me more. Because you know that whatever dies, good riddance. Good riddance. Let it go. Only the false things die. Good riddance. Do you have some proverb, good riddance? In Ukrainian we say, Baba zvozu, kobeli lekše. Baba zvozu means, you know, an old woman gets off the horse cart, it's easier for the horse. Meaning somebody says, I will go. And you say, yeah, please go. So if something goes away in this material world, it's good riddance because it's false anyway. It's temporary anyway. What is true will stay. This is the philosophy of Gita 2.16. If it's true, you can't destroy. If it's false, it will go away anyway. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.